Let's all read together Proverbs 29 and verse 18. I think it's there. Let me just turn there first. I just want to share something before I start. Just pray for me. Right now, I'm actually in my work. I'm working on Mondays, but right now there's this new thing that can require me to work from home. I actually have to go in like once a week on Wednesdays. Like Wednesdays. So, but I'm supposed to coordinate certain things, but I don't have to be so tied down to a place. So it gives me a little bit more flexibility. So pray and see how the Lord wants to help me to position my time so I can actually spend more time, right, both in study and so managing the different aspects of the ministry. Okay? Proverbs 29, verse 18. Let's read together. Ready? Ready? One, two, begin. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come before your holy presence today. Help us to understand your word from your perspective. Father, help us to understand when King Solomon mentioned this, what he meant. And Father, what is the relevance of your word in Proverbs 29, verse 18, to our lives today. We thank you for the people that are here because we know, Lord, that without you bringing us here, we won't be able to. Yes, we have to make a decision to come. And that's where we thank you for your mercy and your grace to move us, Lord, to obey you, to be in your house today. Father, I pray for those who have chosen not to be here. Lord, I pray you help them to see the need. Oh Lord, how we need to be. Because you said, Lord, in the last days, we need to be even gathering more, encouraging one another to be in the faith, Lord. Father, I pray that you help us to have a heavy heart with regards to this whole area of being in your house. We pray, Father, that we will encourage and provoke one another to love and to good works, according to your will. Speak to us, Father, in Proverbs 29:18. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the word, we'll just be going through a very simple lesson, and hopefully you'll understand what God wants us to know. I'll just go through the meaning of the words, and then after a while, I was thinking through, what does it mean? Where there is no vision, the people perish. The word vision simply means something we see. Right, vision means something that we see. Okay, a vision is something that we can, or rather, the ability to see something, a vision. When we cannot see anything, it means that things are dark, right? Although the eyes may be working, if things are dark, you cannot see what is happening. Things can be confusing and things can be bad. But what will be the result? If things are dark, what will be the result? I remember one time when we were in the Brunei jungle, alright, training. One of the things in Brunei, one of the things in infantry is this thing called light discipline. Okay, because in the jungle, if everything is dark, a small light can be seen very, very far. Alright, and usually that is a dangerous thing for soldiers. And so there's this thing called light discipline. Even cigarettes, alright, soldiers who will smoke in the jungle, you know how they smoke in the jungle? You're not supposed to smoke openly, you cannot. Okay, you actually have to pour away your water bottle. Pour away the water in the water bottle. When you smoke, you actually have to put the cigarette inside the water bottle. Like discipline. I'm not teaching you to smoke in the dark, so no one will catch you, alright? Please don't get me wrong. Alright, but that's what they do, okay? They smoke. Because the lighted cigarette can be seen because of the orange glow in the night. Dark forest can be seen for a long way. Alright? And so I remember that time when we were in the Brunei jungle. What happened was, it was so dark. What happens when it's dark and you cannot see? As you walk, you can trip and fall. Okay, you can actually trip and fall. Okay, the Bible says here, where there's no vision, the people perish. The word vision in the biblical sense means this. It denotes a revelation of God's will given through God's servant. I say that again. Vision in the Bible, biblical vision, denotes a revelation of God's will made known through God's servant. Okay, in the context of Proverbs 29 verse 18, Solomon says, where there is no prophetic preaching of the word of God, the people will perish. Where there is no prophet, and we know that in the Bible, there are periods of time when God didn't have any prophets. Let's look at 1 Samuel 3 verse 1. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1. And this is a very telling verse about what happened during the early times of Israel. After the book of Judges, what happened? Proverbs 3 verse 1, after the book of Judges, we know the nation of Israel was in terrible spiritual condition. The priests were corrupted and so on, to the point that God actually had to miraculously produce a child that will minister. 3 in verse 1, the Bible says the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Why? There was no open vision. Before just one generation, before Moses and Joshua, the word of God was everywhere. It was held in high esteem. There was great respect. There was continuous reading of the law of God. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel 3:1, it came to the point, the word of the Lord was precious. It was honorable in those days. Why? Because there was no open vision. Going back to Proverbs 29:18 again, the Bible says the vision is the revelation of God's will made through the servants of God. Okay, this vision has to do with the preaching of God's word. When there is no prophetic vision, the people perish. The people perish. The word perish has many, many implications. The word perish has to do with the people starts to lose. What do they lose? They lose their character. They lose themselves to this world when there is no preaching. And they lose themselves. They are exposed for who they are. Okay, they just kind of live it up, do what they want. And it's interesting in this, the people perish. I know of many people today, having been in the Bible-believing church, after many years, they are being exposed for who they are. They like to live like the world. They want to do what they want. And after a while, you realize the preaching of God's word puts a restraint on our sinful nature. Did you know that? The preaching of God's word puts a restraint on our sinful nature and causes us to want to change. But without it, people will be exposed for who they are. Okay? They will begin to, they will begin to be made naked. They're exposed. The raw person. The question for us today, do we have visions today according to the Bible? Do we have the will of God revealed to God's servants? You know, it's a sad thing. Absolutely, we still do. But even in today's context, in a very limited, one of the things I thank God, do you realize our visitors that come to our church have one burning desire? You know what that is? Of all of them that have come, they always said this: we're looking for a church that will preach the Bible as it is. Not pep talk. Not make people feel good, but what does God say? And you know why they keep coming back? You know how privileged we are to have the Word of God, a vision, a revelation of God's will on a weekly basis, on Fridays, in youth on Saturdays, FBI on Mondays now, going to start soon. We have open vision in Ambassador, and God continuously revealed to us what He expects us to do, okay? Why then are there among Christians still a lack of biblical standards? Why then are there among Christians still an irreverent attitude towards God? Christians. Why then are there Christians still make decisions their own way apart from God and apart from His Word? Why? Why then? The point is this. The second part is this. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You see, during those days when King Solomon said, when there's no vision, there's no open preaching, there's no prophet to come and tell them what is right and wrong, that's one thing. But you know, Solomon says, even though there's no preaching, but if you know the law and you keep them, you are happy. Does that make sense? There's kind of a time when people say, "Brother Johnny, my Christian life is very dry." Let me ask you a question. When things are very dry, what do you do in your Christian life? Brother Joshua? How many of you have experienced a period of dryness in your Christian life? Put out your hand. Yeah, we have. Alright, what do you do during those times? You know what the world wants to do? I need to seek refreshment. Right? I need to find a place whereby I can still be refreshed again. You know, that's not what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? When you have a period of dryness, you know what God says? Just keep staying in my word. Just keep staying in my word. Yes, there may be no open. Samuel, he existed at a time where the word of God was precious. You know what? As Christians, we need to learn character. Let me ask you, if Roy, when he goes up to he probably be in the infantry, right? Will he be in the infantry? You realize in the infantry, it's very boring. You know what we do in infantry? Are we in infantry? No, right? You're not infantry. You know what you do in infantry? Our standard operating procedure, we stay there, time to run, we run to a place, go on the helicopter, and then after we fly to a place, and then we walk 15 kilometers, and then we wait, and then we fall asleep, and then ready to fight, after the stay. And we do that again and again. You know what's the worst thing? You know when we walk that 15 kilometers and you get lost? Your 15 kilometers become 20 kilometers, become 30 kilometers. You know, all you do is to carry that. You know, sometimes when we may get lost, you know what we need to do is just follow what was the previous instruction that God has given to us. You know, one thing I've learned in my Christian life, when I feel that I'm lost, you know where? Just go back to where you left. Or follow the instructions that are given to you. Many people today are looking for experiences. That's why the Pentecostal charismatic movement with all its music is so appealing. Youth, you know why? You're high energy, you're full of adrenaline, you want to experience things. A church that says, obey this, gotta do this, is not thrilling. And so you know what you do? Oh, my friend, wow, quite okay, quite nice. And the lighting, wow, a bit brighter. And the music and the things start to suck you in. That was where I was. And I realized the Lord Jesus and the apostles, they were just, even though in prison, Paul was just faithfully doing what he was supposed to do. Evangelizing, preaching, writing. Can I say this? Have there been a time in your life that when you sit in this service, that you feel that God doesn't speak to you? If there is, you know what you need to do? You need to start obeying God. Just keep doing what God is telling you to do. Okay, very, very important. The Bible, because he that keepeth the law, happy is he. How to be blessed? If you keep the law. Now listen, it's not the listening of the law that will help. It's not the saying of amens that will help. It's the obeying and the obedience to the Lord that will help. Many Christians are not satisfied with their Christian life. You know why? Because they never apply themselves to God's word. I wanted to put a piece of chocolate over here. Okay, if I give Joseph chocolate, you like chocolates? Without peanuts on. You're allergic to peanuts, right? Okay. Would you like chocolate? Do you like chocolates? Don't be shy. Your dad and mom won't kill you, I think. You like chocolate? You like chocolates, okay. So let's say you take the chocolate, right? Oh, Uncle Johnny gave you the chocolate, right? And you just look at it. Do you enjoy the chocolate? I mean, you're just holding the chocolate. Do you enjoy the chocolate? I don't know. Okay, let's gyro. Do you like chocolates? Okay lah. You can't have much, I know. But if you hold the chocolate in your hand, and do you enjoy the chocolate by holding it in your hand? How do you enjoy the chocolate? What? Huh? By eating the chocolate, putting it inside your mouth. Okay? And then, many of us, we hear the chocolate of the gospel, the word of God. We know that it will help us, right? But you know what? Many people don't actually put it in us. We don't make it part of us. Turn to John chapter 6. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ told the people. John chapter 6. And this is something which was used also by the Catholics, but it doesn't mean what the Catholics mean. In verse chapter 6 and verse 51. Okay? Jesus says, John chapter 6 verse 51, Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Catholics meant it to be the mass. It is not the mass. You know what Jesus is saying? I am the living bread. What did Jesus just do in John chapter 6? Jesus just fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, immediately the Jews will remember back in the time of the Exodus when God fed the nation of Israel with manna. And that's why Jesus says, you had your bread in the wilderness, but I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Okay? If I am the living bread, what do you do with bread? What do you do with bread? Phoebe, when you have bread, what do you do? Play soccer? What do you do with that? You eat, right? You know what Jesus said? I'm the living bread. I'm the truth. If you will take of me and make me part of you, when you eat something, the food becomes part of you. And so Jesus, if the bread of life becomes a part of you, what happens to you? Then I'm part of you. Okay? And if you go on to say in verse 3, verily, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You will not enjoy the Christian life if you don't partake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians, when they are convicted about certain things, actually say, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do this. The gospel chocolate of God's word is just here. I know it's good for me. I know I'm supposed to take it. But no, I won't take it now. But no, it's good, it's good. I'll come back again the next week and the same chocolate piece will be there and we do not partake of it. And that's why many Christians remain the same. You know what's worse? The Christian slides back. Do you realize you cannot move without fuel? I think it makes sense, right? Many Christians don't take the fuel of God's word, and God convicts our heart where it is. We're supposed to serve, we're supposed to do this, we're supposed to do more. But the duties of life, the cares of this world, Matthew chapter 13, become so caught up in us. Let's turn to Matthew 13. This is very important because we're talking about the open vision. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 6. Matthew 13, verse 6, the Bible says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because he had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. What are thorns? Look at verse 22, cross-reference. Jesus went, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. You know where you get a good cares from? The Greek word care is schizo. You know schizo? Where you get schizophrenia from? You know what schizophrenia? It's a mental illness. It's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Totally different person. Hello! Hi, how are you? Totally different. Schizo has to do with the splitting of the mind. The Bible teaches when a person hears God's word, and you know, I know I'm supposed to do this, but you know, I got this care, this duty I must do for whatever. But what God says is, I'm in split too. And the Bible says, you know what he does? He actually does in verse 22. The cares of the world actually come over and choke God's word that there is no ability to produce fruit. There's no ability to produce fruit. Okay? So, the cares of this world can choke the fruit. It is not the hearing of God's word. Alright? It's not the hearing of God's word that will help us. It is actually the obedience to the word of God. It's the obedience to the word of God. Because the Bible says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Alright? The Bible teaches us to be happy. God says we must obey his word. You know, how many of you know this already? I think we all know this. Can I share with you my pastor's heart? I believe as Ambassador Baptist Church, we know many things. But God wants us to obey it. God wants us to obey him. How much do we obey him? I mentioned, we need to obey him in the minutest detail. It shows that we love him. Brother Johnny is hard. I know it's hard. But you know what? If you love someone, it's not going to be hard. Okay, so something I want to... Some lessons. Number one, we have open vision. Amen? Every week, I believe, God speaks to us about something in our lives. Can I say this? If you come to Ambassador Baptist Church, and God doesn't speak to you on a Sunday anymore, it can only mean two reasons. Either I'm not walking with God, and God doesn't use me anymore, so it's time for me to leave. Or the things of this world have so blinded your hearts, and that your heart is so dull to God's word, it's not getting through. There can only be two reasons. Okay? We have open vision. Where is this open vision? Do you realize every time you read the Bible, God speaks to you? When was the last time God spoke to you, Christian? When was the last time God spoke to you? I'm not talking about, oh, I understand Samuel, you know, here's a... I'm not talking about Bible knowledge. I'm talking about when I was reading, I'm studying the book of Exodus today. I mean, in my quiet time. You know, one of the things the Lord actually spoke to me about in Exodus chapter 20. And I usually, I would study and then I would type in my thoughts. And one of the things God, let's turn to Exodus 20. I'll just share with you what I learned in my quiet time. Exodus 20. In Exodus chapter 20, if you look at verse 17 onwards, in verse 19 first, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the nether part. The nether part means at the bottom of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And I was just thinking about, if I were there, what majesty that God was actually showing to the children of Israel. Can you imagine a mountain on fire? The majesty of God, okay? And then going down to chapter 20, verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God spoke to me there. Johnny, I have taken you out of the land of Egypt, this world. I have taken you out, Johnny, from the slavery and sin of this world. You are to have no other idols in your life. That's what God spoke to me about as a pastor. And I need to ask myself, Lord, what idols have I kept since you have pulled me out of this world? When was the last time God spoke to you? It's a personal relationship. See, our God is a personal God. He talks to us clearly, but you know, He talks to us sincerely, and He meets us where we need. He speaks to us where we actually need the word. Amen? When was the last time God spoke to you? When was the last time God spoke to you about surrender? When was the last time God spoke to you about, hey, this one area of your life, I am not pleased. This is one area of life I want you to enhance. I'm holding very tightly to the message God has given to you. Strengthen the things that remain. To me, that's so clear. It's like God writing in. But of course, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, strengthen the things that remain. Are we strengthening the things? When was the last time God spoke to us? You know why? If God doesn't speak to you, you know what will happen to you? Lesson number two. A neglect of God's revealed word brings consequences. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If God doesn't speak to you, Christian, you're in trouble. I like one lady. She was taught this from a very young age, as a teenager when she trusted Christ. Thank God she's attending our church. You know what she says? Every time I go to church, I make sure I leave with a lesson from God. If not, I better pay attention until I get that lesson. A neglect of God's revealed word in His will bring consequences. Where there is no word of God, you know what actually happens? We perish. Using the meaning of the word perish, number one, there are three steps. There will be a deterioration of the person. Things will get loose. Okay? In the word perish is the word loose, loosen. Kind of like, let's say if I have, Uncle Roland and some of the men actually put that up there. Okay? Let's say over time, it can get loose. Right? What will happen to this thing if it gets loose? After a while, let's say it gets loose, it will crumble. Right? But it begins with the deterioration. Step one would, I'll give you a few areas of deterioration. You know what will deteriorate? Discipline will deteriorate. An example right now, for Brother Roy, he's very disciplined because he's in the army, it's a place where be disciplined men. You get up at a certain time, you do certain things in a certain way, you must follow. And you know why he's always disciplined? Every day you have the routine orders, right? RO. Right? Company, this time you must wake up, oh, tomorrow got range, you must get up at 4:30. You must follow, and someone is enforcing it. You know what? That's equivalent to the open vision. But you know what? When you are by yourself, it's God speaking to you. That's why, Christian, have you been reading your Bible? If not, there will be a deterioration of discipline. You know what happens? Your behavior will get worse. There will be a deterioration of dressing, as it is in many churches today. A lowering of standards. There will be deterioration in dressing. It's said that Singaporeans are one of the worst dressers in Southeast Asia, is that right? One of the worst dressers. Huh? We go Orchard Road in flip-flops. We don't care. Our GDP is one of the highest in the world, but our dressing is one of the worst in the world. But you know what? Our dressing is not only getting lax, it's getting loose. Even young teenage girls are being trained by family members to wear things that will reflect ungodliness. When there is no, when the neglect of God's word, music gets worse. It is no secret many young people listen to rock music. Has God spoken to you about this area? Because rock music breeds rebellion. Music standards will get worse. Respect for authority will get loose. Authority, on the other hand, do not exercise what is rightfully their right. You know what? Authority, no choice law. I mean, he wants to go that way, there's nothing we can do. Yeah, in certain situations, there'll be a perishing of the kind of authority, but you know what? God help us as parents, as a pastor, as Sunday school teachers, there's certain authority God has given to you. You make use of it. Don't let it loose. Number one, a neglect of God's review work will bring the consequence of deterioration. Number two, it brings the consequence of decline. Because in the word perish, it has the idea of making bare. In other words, you will be stripped of your character, you will be stripped of your personality. And as you begin to, the word of God doesn't come into you anymore. The Bible says the word of God is like water, it cleanses us. But if the word of God doesn't speak to us anymore, there's no cleansing. Right? What happens to you? The vent, I'll get some cleansing once in a while. I cleanse it some once in a while. And I need to do it more often. But you know what will happen if it doesn't get cleansing? That's why when we first got the van, I SMS everyone, what color would you want for the van? Some say purple, some say white, some say whatever color, some say yellow. And we decided silver because at least maintenance, if it's dirty, it's not so bad. But you know what? We need. How many of you don't shower daily? Put out your hand. How many? You shower daily. You have to, otherwise they'll charge you with no hygiene. You know, even a soldier are taught to have hygiene in the field. We actually have to take powder bath, for example. Okay, how many of you don't shower? We do, right? How many shower more than once? Or twice? Or 16 times a day? Why? Because we want to be clean. It's interesting, isn't it? Many times we try to keep the outward nice by doing nothing about the inward. You know what happens? The less we clean up of the inside, the decline becomes more obvious. Those whose discipline get lax becomes worse, and becomes a hard nut to crack after a while. It's hard to get through to the person. Dressings become lower to the point that it's okay, I don't care. I don't care what brothers think. They go and they can jolly well hide their eyes somewhere else. I'm going to wear what I want. Music coming through our speech, our youth, we are no longer ashamed to listen to rock music publicly. Even sport hairstyles, lifestyles, we openly, not we, but people generally openly question authority. If your children, parents, come to the point that you will question your authority with their rebellious spirit, we're in trouble. We need God to help us there. And children, if you are in that stage, you know what you need to do? You need to get back to the open vision. And God is telling us not to go down that road. Okay? We need to watch that pride there. A neglect of God's revealed word brings consequences of deterioration. It brings consequences of decline. And then finally, it brings a consequence of destruction. In Proverbs 13, verse 13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. Whoso despises shall be destroyed. Me and my wife, we were speaking, I think we shared this last week. I shared again, me and my wife were speaking to Lily, you know, Lily was being nice, and then apparently someone was, she has a maid, and this maid stole her money, you know, and then went to the police station and said that Lily abused her, okay, and Lily's like, she knew nothing about it, okay, in the end, all things was found out, and in the end, the police asked her whether she wants to press charges. Lily says no, it's okay, just let her go, you know. The police said, you should, said, no, I don't want to. But then after that, okay, you don't want to press charges, that's fine. We will have to, we cannot release her, we need to wait for the state prosecutor. I say, what? No, if you, when a person has committed a crime on earth, in a country against you, you have every right to press charges. But if you don't want to press charges, because he has broken the law, the state, by default, will press charges. You know, when I heard that, it made me clear. Like, for example, I think some of us know about Arthur and what happened. And similarly, Brother John Mark says, no, we're not going to press charges. Okay? The case is not closed totally yet. I'm still receiving SMSs from the inspector to say this is what we're doing, we're maintaining. We are giving him one warning, and the moment he does it again, that's it, he's in already. He's given a warning, but you know, the police is still on his case. He's given a stern warning, but the next time is immediately he will be in. Now I've learned this. Immediately it taught me this. We can sin against God. We have all the personal reasons why we do it. But when we stand before God, by default, the law court of heaven have to press charges. It will be destroyed. He that despises the law, well, that's why, Christian, you know why? I beg you to obey God. I fear for your lives. I fear for your prosperity in your life. Because God is a faithful God, both in carrying out His promises of care for us and in carrying out His judgment on His people. Yes, He's long-suffering, but don't presume upon God. Okay, I had this... you know, the consequences is in this life. Many, many years ago, there was one particular teenage girl who got into trouble, right? She was involved in physical relationship. She was expecting. You know what the saddest thing was? After all that has, you know, she didn't go for abortion. She went through the 9 months. You know what happened after that? 1 month later, she was with another guy. And she walked past us. She couldn't see us. We saw. And in my heart, God help the family. And this family has Christian influence. Where there's no vision, the people perish. I know a family's set accounts where the entire family, all the daughters were involved in that. And every daughter was involved. You guys don't know who, but they're involved in our ministry as well. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Mothers and fathers, make sure your daughters are not statistics. Young ladies and young men, keep your thoughts to yourself, your hands to yourself. You protect your own bodies because you belong to God. Remember that. Don't allow anyone to violate you or do anything. That means you have to stay away from those things that will cause you to fall. You know what? Adults, we need to be strong and teach our young people with love in our hearts. Protect them. God wants us to have that vision. You know, if everyone would just take on that responsibility, you know what? It's going to be hard. But you know what? You grow up knowing that you have kept your clear conscience, and when you're at the end of your life, you say, Lord, I've lived, I've fought a good fight. Yeah, there were many temptations, but I thank God for my Sunday school teacher. I thank God for my brother teacher. I thank God who have kept me in the straight and narrow way. And Sunday school teachers, be strong for God as you teach the children. Because otherwise, the children in this life, they will have the consequences. But you know what? Sadly, I'm not too sure about this particular girl. In the next life, she will have to face the wrath of God. You know, the saddest thing is that people will face punishment in this world and don't learn a lesson. Lessons to it, we have open vision, number one. Number two, a neglect of God's revealed word will bring consequences. And number three, an obedience to the law of God brings blessings. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Notice, blessings of God come to us, not the hearing of the words of God, not the reading of the words of God, but the keeping of the words of God will bring blessing. When we keep the word of God, then the blessings will come. I can assure you, if a mommy or daddy gives an instruction to a child, and the child doesn't do it, the mommy and daddy will wait until the child does it. Because if you don't do it, that's disobedience. Okay? So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus, this is a very popular passage at the end of his discourse, a sermon on the mount, Jesus says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that buildeth his house upon a rock. Parents, teach your children to act on God's word, even when they don't feel like it. The soldier is made to do many things that they don't feel like doing, like waking up early in the morning. But you know what? It's part of discipline. Part of discipline. As we close, three questions. Whose vision are you following? Whose vision are you following? As we close, the Bible says where there's no vision, where there's no revealed will. You know what? We are obeying certain vision in our lives. So whose vision are you following? Are you following God's vision? Or are you following your vision? There's this guy who said this. His name is Peter Forsyth. He says, the first duty of every soul is not to find its freedom, but to find its master. The first duty of every soul is not to find its own freedom, but to find who the master is. Let me ask you, who is the master, Lord of your life? If you say Jesus is the Lord of your life, your duty for Him will be strong. Your ministry for Him will be fruitful. Because if He is your master, you will do what He says. But if He is not your master, someone else is. You know who is that person? Generally is the big I. Who is the master of your soul? First question, number two. Are you keeping the word of the Lord? And how are you keeping the word of the Lord? Are you obedient to every word? There's a story of this man, his name is Archibald. He was speaking to a man whose dog, I think I shared this testimony before, but not for me, but this dog, this man just lost his dog. Okay, was killed in a forest fire and he was crying and this man was talking to him. I need to be very careful what kind of instructions I give to this dog. And he was walking out of the doors, he took his dog with him that morning. He left the animal in the clearing and gave him a command to stay where in the forest. Stay here, boy, and take care of my lunch until I come back. Because he was going back home to take something. And the dog stayed there. And there was a forest fire. And the entire forest was burned. And at the spot where the dog was, the dog died where he was supposed to be. You know what the man said? I must be very careful what instruction I give this dog. Because he will obey it to the letter. And that dog died in the position that he was asked to wait for his master. How obedient are we to God? That even in the midst of forest fire burning out, if God says, no, I want you to stay, well, are you willing to stay? How obedient are we to God? Do life circumstances change your perception of God's word? Or God's word, if A means A, B means B? You know, we've come to a state in Christianity where when God says A, you will ask Him, Lord, is it capital or small letter? Is it in this context or that context? We begin to negotiate with God. You know why sometimes we're not happy as Christians? You know why sometimes we all say, oh, my life is all full of this. You know why? Because we're not looking from a heavenly perspective. How obedient are we to God? Do you realize that you don't have to be disobedient to God's word to be disobedient to God's word? You know what I mean? All you have to do, listen to this, you just have to be indifferent. You come to church, you hear the message, you think a little bit, and you just move out. You continue your life. Ah, I've got to rush for this appointment, that appointment. I've got to do this and this and this. And God's word doesn't sink in. We are indifferent. And indifference is a characteristic of the second coming of Christ. I'm praying that Ambassador Baptist Church will never be indifferent to the word of God. If God has been so open with us, with His blessings and His will for us, we cannot be indifferent. Things have got to change in our lives. Alright? Do you realize that you just have to be indifferent? Can I ask you one question before we close? How many remember my message on Sunday? Put up your hand. Without turning to your notes. I'm going to put people on the spot now. Did I? Before you go? Oh, was she sleeping? No, never mind. Go. Jojo was upstairs. Who knows? Referring to notes, huh? Okay, wait. Don't say first, huh? Okay? That means you know means you will be my model answer. Okay? Who knows what I preach on Sunday? Okay, Phoebe? Sorry? The hearer and the doer. Did you remember? My third encouragement to you. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Be a doer. I'm not saying, cover to cover. Whatever the Lord shows you, whatever God shows you, forgive, give, love, serve, do more here. Surrender this. Be a light. Just obey God where He tells you, be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. That is not a suggestion. It's an imperative tense. Be a doer of the word, not hearers only. Bluffing your own selves. Bluffing your own selves. Be doers of what? Soul winning? Discipling? Coming to church is our responsibility and our duty. But when God asks you to do something else, we need to do that. Alright? As we close, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I hope God will help us to be happy in Him. True happiness only comes when we obey God. Not when you increase in your bonus. Or it does help a little bit. You know, you go out for a special meal and all that, buy certain things. But you know, you need to obey God above all. May the vision you have in your life, it's a vision that God puts in your life, not what you put in your own life. Alright, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. And Lord, thank You for Your precious word and the attentiveness of Your people. I pray that we will always, always hold up Your word as our vision in our lives. Father, I pray that You will strengthen every believer. May Ambassador Baptist Church not be indifferent, Lord, to the things that You have said. Lord, help us not to be indifferent to the ministry You have called us to. Lord, I know there are many, many requirements, many duties that we have to perform. But we know, Lord, You will give us the strength. You will give us the ability and power. Lord, help us to do right. Help us to obey. That the people under us will see our love for You. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, I just want to ask this question. Has the Lord spoken to you? Has the Lord spoken to you? And you're asking yourself, Lord, am I obedient to the vision You've given to me? Or am I having my own vision, self-created vision? And you're saying, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to follow His vision. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Anyone else? I want to follow the vision. Where there's no vision, you start to deteriorate. Amen. I see that hand. That hand too. Amen. Amen. All those hands everywhere. Children and young people and parents have that vision of God. Anyone else? Amen. Let's put up. Anyone else? Where there's no vision, you will deteriorate, you will decline, and you will be destroyed. That is what God says. Amen. Just put up your hand and put it down. Then you pray. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, we pray for Your vision to be so strong in our lives. Thank You for so many of our brethren that says, yes, Lord, I want to follow Your vision. Oh God, I pray that we will be true to Your word. Lord, help us to be patient with one another, even as we yearn to move forward for You. I pray for every child, Lord, who has put up their hands. Lord, I know sometimes it can be treated like a game thing. But I pray that as parents, we will continue to teach them Your word, to walk with them in the spirit of love, the spirit of holiness, that our children will see Christ in our lives. I pray for every child that has put up their hand, that their lives will reflect Christ. I pray for every young person, Lord, in every station of life, whether schooling, whether different things in their lives, I pray that they will be the light, that they will follow the light that You have given to them, the vision in Thy word. And I pray that as they read the Bible every day, You will speak to them in a clear way. Oh God, please, for every mom and dad that's put up their hands, I pray, Lord, You take a hold of their hearts, and that, Father, they would surrender totally to You. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do in our lives. Help us. Help us truly to honor You by obeying Your word. Help us to realize it's not the listening and the reading only, but the eating of Your word, that it may be part and parcel of our lives. Help us in our soul to find our Master, that we might find our freedom. I will thank You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take some prayer requests.